Hello there, and welcome to episode number 124 of Blue Jays World Update. I'm your host, Thomas Hall, and let's get you up to date. Can you smell it? Can you smell trade season in the air? Because we're almost there. We're almost at that August 1st trade deadline. And we've had some minor moves thus far. Nothing that would knock your socks off by any means. But it sounds like things are going to start popping over the next few days, heading into next week and ultimately August 1st. The problem that is facing the industry right now is that the standings are so jumbled up together that there's still, according to Ross Atkins, who spoke earlier this week, ahead of the trade deadline, that there's still roughly 20 teams or so making the argument that they're still like technically in it. They're on the fence. They're not sure whether or not they're gonna sell. And that's what these next 10 days are for. That we're gonna trim the fat a little bit here and actually get to the real sellers. But from the Blue Jays perspective, they're without question gonna be active leading up to the deadline. We know that they have to improve their team. Their roster has some flaws. It has some holes that it can fill before now and the August 1st deadline. But with that being said, I don't think we're going to see any sort of blockbuster trades made by this team. It's not their style. It really never has been. You even look at last deadline in 2022, where they added Whit Merrifield, they added Anthony Bass and Zach Pop, Mitch White even, which is a move most people want to forget about, but they didn't do anything significant that would catch a headline, and I don't think that's going to be the case this year, mainly because they don't have a big hole they have to fill, whether that's on the pitching side or the position player side. So, with that being said, we're going to outline their roster needs and how they should prioritize what holes they should fill. And I wrote about this a couple times this week that, you know, you can go look at Jays Nation, Yahoo Canada. But personally, I think if you could only make one move, and the Blue Jays are probably going to make more than one, but if you could only make one move at the deadline here, the Blue Jays have to get a bat. They have to get a right-handed hitter because, frankly, they've been exposed versus left-handed pitching this season. And that's not a new issue either. We went into this season knowing that the Blue Jays were one bat short of having essentially a perfect offseason. And it wasn't because of a lack of effort, right? They tried to get Robbie Grossman, Adam Duvall, Tommy Pham, AJ Pollock. All those guys signed elsewhere for more playing time. And rightfully so. The Blue Jays could only offer a platoon-type role. And when you have other offers on the table that are far more appealing to you, you're going to jump at those, right? So I don't blame any of those guys for doing that. But at the same time, the Blue Jays are in a position where they have a weakness versus left-handed pitching beyond the top half of their lineup, because those guys, for the most part, are doing their job. But when you get down to the bottom half, you have run into situations where you're having to, out of necessity, run with a lot of left-on-left matchups, which isn't ideal because you don't want Dalton Varsho facing a left-handed pitcher. You don't want Brandon Belt facing a left-handed pitcher. You don't want Kevin Biggio facing a lefty, and so on and so forth. And it doesn't help either that Alejandro Kirk, minus Thursday's performance, hasn't played well this season either. So when you're in a position where you want to have Jansen and Kirk both in the lineup, it hasn't played out effectively the way it did last season. So if you're able to go out and acquire a right-handed hitter that excels versus left-handed pitching, you'll be able to match up and structure your lineup much more effectively over the final 2 months of the season when you do face a lefty. And the good news is, there's a handful of them available, or at least there should be a number of them available at the trade deadline. And at the top of my wish list, I have a few veteran outfielders, starting with Tommy Pham from the New York Mets. Thursday's game with injury, hopefully it's not anything significant, because obviously that would derail his chances of probably getting traded, or at least significantly hinder them, if he had to go on the IL this close to the deadline. But regardless of that, we'll see how that situation plays out. His numbers versus left-handed pitching have been off the charts this season. He's slashing 262, 354, 536 with a 141 weighted runs created plus. He's on an expiring contract. I believe the Mets only signed him to a $6 million deal. So he would be a rental, and that isn't necessarily ideal for the Blue Jays because they have a number of veterans coming off the books after this season, namely Kevin Kiermaier, Brandon Belt, likely Whit Merrifield, who has an $18 million mutual option, which will without question be declined, and thus making him a free agent. Obviously, you have Matt Chapman entering free agency as well. So ideally, you'd probably prefer to add an outfielder with a bit of control, just so that you don't go into the offseason with a couple of holes to fill. It's not a necessity. Like, that wouldn't make me not want to target Tommy Pham by any means. I think he'd be a really good hitter added to this lineup, and the fact that he's doing a really good job at getting on base via walks, evidence of his 13.1% walk rate compared to a 22.2% strikeout rate this season with the Mets versus left-handed pitching. So and defensively, he's not all that great. He's got a strong arm, but for a guy who's probably only going to play 3, maybe 4 times a week, you don't really have to worry all that much about that player's defense, because as well, you could also DH him. You don't have to stick that player in left field or center if they have that capability upon acquiring that player. You could, again, DH him and have Kirk or Jansen catch. But another player who I tend to lean towards would be Tyler O'Neill. BC native, Canadian guy, needs a change of scenery desperately with everything that's gone down in St. Louis this season, not to mention he hasn't been able to stay healthy this season either. He's currently on the IL due to a back injury, but he is slated to come off the IL, or he did come off the IL on Thursday. So, you know, he is healthy at this current time. He has battled through hamstring and back injuries over the last few years, so that has certainly impacted his production, and not in a positive way. And his offensive production hasn't been good this year. He's striking out almost 35% of the time. He's slashing 228, 283, 337 with a 73 weighted runs created plus over 29 games. His value has been in the toilet. His WAR is negative 0.3. But having said all that, he's only 2 seasons removed from the best performance of his career, where he crushed 34 home runs, drove in 80 runs, slashed 286, 352, 560 with a 144 WRC plus. Hey, his WAR was up to career best, 5.6. I believe he won a Gold Glove that season too. He's a two-time Gold Glove Award winner as well. So you'd love to add that type of player to your roster, especially because Tyler O'Neill has another season of team control after this current one. And he's making less than $5 million this season, so it wouldn't cost a whole lot financially to pick him up. And I think, too, the Cardinals at this point, they just want to part ways. Clearly, Oliver Marmol and O'Neill don't see eye to eye on several things. And the Cardinals have a surplus of outfielders. They currently have a logjam right now. And we all know they're going to be looking to sell at the deadline. And given that O'Neill has battled injuries, his numbers are way down from where anyone expected them to be this season and last year as well. So you could buy low on Tyler O'Neill, sort of like how the Blue Jays did with Whit Merrifield last season, where he wasn't really doing a whole lot at the plate. But a change of scenery sparks him, and look how well he's doing this year in a full-time role. And as well, too, I mean, doesn't hurt to add another Canadian to the roster, right? I don't know if that does anything to performance, but hey, I mean, the more Canadians you can have on the only Canadian franchise in Major League Baseball, I'm all for it, right? So I really like Tyler O'Neill's makeup. And as well, too, despite the poor season he had in 2022, he still hit well versus left-handed pitching. He slashed 256, 352, 436 with a 128 weighted to runs created plus over 91 plate appearances. He did even better in his breakout year in 2021, hitting 289, 388, 639 with a 171 WRC plus, over 98 plate appearances. So, this is a guy who's got a lot of power. He's got good knowledge of the strike zone, obviously a really good fielder as well. So, and he's got that extra year of team control too. So, for me, Tyler O'Neill's a guy who would make a lot of sense for the Jays, not just this year, but also next year as well. Because, again, if he does well, or if he did well to end the season here, maybe you don't have to go out and add a starting outfielder next winter. Maybe you can go into 2024 having an outfield makeup of Tyler O'Neill, Dalton Varsho, and George Springer. Like, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And then that allows you to, you know, potentially look at an extension with Kiermaier. But at the end of the day, you really are only looking at getting a fourth outfielder type if Kiermaier signs elsewhere. So that would certainly make a ton of sense to me. But there's other guys out there as well. Connor Joe, probably not a name that's all that familiar amongst Blue Jays fans, but he's another guy who's performed really well versus left-handed pitching this season. He's hitting 298, 400 on base percentage, a 521 slug, 151 WRC plus, over 110 plate appearances. He as well is another guy who walks a ton. He's got a 12.7% walk rate versus lefties compared to a 21.8% strikeout rate. He's also fairly versatile as well, and that's a trait we all know the Blue Jays love to acquire. He can play first, a little bit of third, and he can also play corner outfield for you as well. I don't necessarily know if the Pittsburgh Pirates would be willing to move him, considering that he has multiple years of team control beyond this current one. He's not a free agent until after the 2027 season, so they don't have to move him by any means, but he is 30 years old. And by the time the Pirates are competitive again, he's probably going to be out of his prime years. And he's having arguably the best statistic performance of his career. He's got a career best 1.3 Fangraphs WAR rating this year. And overall, the numbers don't jump off the page. But again, if you specify them just to left-handed pitchers, Connor Joe has been a very valuable player for the Pirates in that type of platoon situation. So, again, it might cost you a bit to get him. But if you were to offer up somebody like, say, Santiago Espinal, center a package around him, or even Biggio, maybe that entices the Pirates a little bit more because you get a younger guy, still got multiple years of team control. So, and that would free up the Blue Jays roster a little bit, just from a long-term perspective, because it's going to be tough to add somebody with infield experience without subtracting from Espinal and Biggio. It might just be tough in general to add a position player without subtracting a little bit, just given a playing time perspective, right? Because if you bring in a right-handed bat who you can platoon against lefties, that means the majority of the time you're going to have Whit Merrifield playing second base in those situations. And then it's like, okay, when is Espinal going to play, right? He's going to be in a spot where he's playing maybe once a week or even less. So to me, given the 40-man roster crunch you could face here in the next few weeks with Hyunjin Ryu possibly returning as soon as next week, we'll see how his potential final rehab appearance goes in Buffalo on Friday. Chad Green's going to start a rehab assignment on Saturday too, so he's probably not all that far away from a major league return either. And you have trade acquisitions that are going to be needing space on the 40-man roster too. So Ross Atkins alluded to this a little bit in his press conference on Wednesday, but as much as the Blue Jays don't want to subtract from their big league roster, it might be difficult not to, given the fact that there just won't be enough playing time to go around. And frankly, Biggio and Espinal are going to cost you probably double what they are this year once they enter the second year of arbitration next winter. So to me, if they're not going to play a whole lot, you might as well explore trading one of them. And if you're adding a right-handed hitter, probably makes a lot of sense to move out a right-handed batter as well. But you're not forced into that situation by any means either. So we'll see what happens there. But getting back to potential right-handed bat targets, it also would make sense to target somebody like Lane Thomas out of Washington, a former Toronto Blue Jays draft pick back in 2014, I believe. And he's having a breakout season. He's crushing left-handed pitching. He's slashing 361, 411, 630 with a 179 WRC+. He's got a ton of power, doesn't strike out a lot. The only concern I have with Thomas, actually there's two concerns. One, he's not really a good outfielder. He's probably below average defensively. Again, though, in a platoon type role, that doesn't really matter. The second, though, and the one I'm a little bit more hesitant about, is the fact that he's basically middle of the pack when it comes to quality of contact metrics. And that means, like, he doesn't really hit a lot of balls hard. His hard hit rate is around league average. Similar sentiment goes for his barrel rate as well. So I question as to how sustainable this type of production would be over multiple seasons. And the reason I bring that up is because he's under team control through 2025. And given that he's having a career season, the Nationals are probably going to want to maximize his value, and as they should. But for the Blue Jays, you're not going to want to give up a ton for a guy you're not going to play every day. So I don't know whether or not that type of deal could work. Maybe if they add another piece to it, it might make a little bit more sense. Like maybe they add a Hunter Harvey to that type of deal, and maybe it makes more sense for the Blue Jays to do in that sense. But if the price remains high on Lane Thomas, as I expect it to be, given that he's 27 years old and he's having the best season of his career, that probably might not happen, or at least it'll be difficult to pull off, especially considering the other options that are out there, and that will likely be less expensive than acquiring a guy like Lane Thomas would be. But the story, the numbers he has versus left-handed pitching this season, it makes him an appealing target. And then also, speaking of guys who would be difficult to acquire, at least I would think would be difficult to acquire, is Austin Slater from the San Francisco Giants. And the reason I think it'd be difficult to land him is because the Giants are currently leading the wild card race in the National League. And they're currently using Slater in the same role that the Blue Jays would use him in. They're only basically playing him against left-handed pitching, which he's slugging. He's slashing 365, 441, 577 with a 180 WRC plus this season, only in 59 plate appearances this season, but that's because he missed a large chunk of the season due to injury. But now that he's back, anytime the Giants face a lefty, you can slot him in at the top of the order, and he's probably going to have a good game for you. And in that sense, I think it'd be very, very challenging to entice the Giants to part with him. I don't really know if the Blue Jays have the type of pieces that the Giants would say, you know what, yeah, okay, we'll part with an important platoon guy like that. Because even if you were to offer up, again, a trade package around Biggio or Espinal, neither of those guys, one, are hitting well, period, and two, neither of those guys hit well versus left-handed pitching, at least this season. Espinal did a good job of it last year. That hasn't carried over into 2023. Now, the Giants need bullpen help, so maybe that's a route the Blue Jays could go to, considering they have a number of arms in their pen who have performed well this season. I don't know if, like, offering up a Jimmy Garcia would bridge the gap. Especially because I don't know how inclined the Blue Jays would be to trade a Jimmy Garcia to get a platoon bat, especially when there are other options out there where they could keep Jimmy Garcia and still add a platoon righty to their lineup. So not sure if that's really realistic, but at the same time, it's notable because of how well he's performing versus left-handed pitching this season, and the fact that the Giants could see him potentially as expendable, given that he's a free agent after next season. So maybe there's room for the Blue Jays to finesse some sort of deal that would get a yes out of the Giants. But in any case, I think they would probably have to remove one, at least two pieces from the big league roster to get that done. And I'm just not 100% sure they'd want to do that type of move. So we'll see. But those first three that I mentioned, Pham, O'Neill, and Joe, those three are definitely guys to keep an eye on. Particularly Pham and O'Neill, because both of those two guys, I think at least, could help the Blue Jays a lot down the stretch. And moving on here, let's talk about some pitching here, because the Blue Jays, for the most part, are set on the pitching side of things, unlike on the position player side where they have an obvious part-time hole they need to fill, you could make the argument that they don't need to add any big league pitching at the deadline. And I know that may sound a little crazy considering that Alek Manoah struggled in his last start, albeit in a game that he didn't receive any help in from the umpire, home plate umpire, or his defense. You have Hyunjin Ryu returning very, very soon, and we could be looking at a scenario where the Blue Jays shift to a six-man rotation, at least temporarily. I don't think they're going to, say, end the season with a six-man rotation. I think they'd maybe go for it, like, run with a six-man rotation for a few weeks, maybe all of August. But you want to get your starting five in a rhythm on regular rest down the stretch so that, you know, they're in that groove heading into the most important time of the season. So with that, though, I don't see the Blue Jays adding even a back-end starter at the deadline. I don't see them going out and adding like a Michael Lorenzen type guy, or even a Jordan Montgomery, any guys like that. It just doesn't make sense. They don't have the room. They don't have the room on their 26-man roster. They certainly don't have the room on their 40-man roster either. So I don't think that's a route they're going to consider all that much. But I do think they need to add some depth to their starting pitching depth. It's a weird way to frame it. But at the AAA level specifically, they're pretty thin, and that might be saying it a little lightly too. The depth at AAA is not good whatsoever. Sure, you have Bowden Francis down there now, and Paxton Schultz, who was acquired in the Derek Fisher trade a few years ago. He's pitched fairly well since his promotion to AAA. But beyond those two, the options are pretty bleak. Zach Thompson has not performed the way the Blue Jays hoped he would. His ERA, last time I checked, is hovering around 5. It might be down a little bit now, but especially because he pitched well the other night. So it might be down south of 5 now, but it's certainly in the high 4s. And they don't really have traditional starters in Buffalo beyond those three anyway. They have a lot of bulk-type guys. Who go, you know, 3-4 innings, but that's about it. And so right now, if the Blue Jays were to suffer an injury to their starting rotation, like they nearly did with Kevin Gausman, who thankfully avoided an IL stint caused by a minor oblique sprain, if you could even call it that. And luckily they dodged a bullet there, because they probably would have been looking at a scenario where they would have had to call up Bowden Francis and go to some sort of bullpen type day, where you use Richards as an opener again and go to Francis for the bulk. And even when Ryu comes back and they potentially have 6 starting pitchers they could use, I still think they'd be beneficial to add some more depth to the AAA level. And I know a lot of you are going to cringe as soon as I put this out there, but I honestly think they need to make another Mitch White type acquisition. Now, I'll let it breathe for a little bit, because I'm sure a lot of you jumped as soon as I brought that up. However, let me say this. The Mitch White trade hasn't worked out. Not one bit. It's blown up in the Blue Jays' faces. That being said, there's a lesson to be learned from it. And that's, you don't give up a really intriguing arm for someone who may or may not stick as a starter or as a reliever at the major league level. Now that the Blue Jays have had to learn that the hard way, I still think there's an option for them to add some depth at the AAA level. Ideally, that comes in the form of an arm that has at least one minor league option remaining and has prior major league experience. The problem is finding somebody who meets both of those thresholds and is also performing decently well this year is the hard part. I think I spent like an hour or so a few weeks ago scouring through all 29 organizational depth charts, and I found two or three names that to me are intriguing. And the first one that caught my eye, at least, is JP Sears, who is having a pretty good season with the Oakland Athletics this season. He was originally part of the Frankie Montas trade with the Yankees last season. 27 years old, he's got two minor league options remaining, not a free agent until after 2028, so he's got a lot of team control there, which would probably suggest there would be a hefty, I don't even know if hefty is the right way to say it, but it would cost a little bit on the high side, maybe, especially considering that he's performed to a 3.99 ERA over 19 starts with the A's this season, and that's pretty exceptional considering how bad the A's are. The underlying metrics are a little off-putting, I'd say. Not concerning, but he has a 4.44 expected ERA, a 4.94 FIP. He's performing to a 12.6 home run to fly ball ratio. Not getting a ton of strikeouts this season, just 23.4%, but he's limited walks to a 5.4%. But he allows a lot of barrels. He doesn't miss the sweet spot on bats. And he doesn't throw hard either. He's basically league average with his fastball averaging 93.2 miles per hour. But again, I like the stuff with Sears because to me, he's still a work in progress, but I think there's still a lot in there. And that's largely due to the fact that he's still trying to develop a primary second weapon. He uses his fastball over 50% of the time, which isn't ideal for a guy who throws softer than 95. But there has been some good moments with his sweeper, which is just basically a slower slider that sweeps a lot. Essentially sweeps across the strike zone. It's generating a lot of chases, which is good, which is a good thing. But I don't think he's using it in the right situations. Like with two strikes, his fastball is being used almost 55% of the time, where his sweeper has been used 28% of the time. He's also got a slider, which has barely been hit this season. But he's only throwing it less than 10% of the time with two strikes, despite it generating a 26.7% whiff rate, which is the highest amongst his pitches. And hitters are only hitting 0.45 against it. And in those situations, overall on the season, they have a 106 expected batting average against it. They have a 0.67 batting average against it. So I think personally he could get even better or a little bit better with some fine tuning around the edges, and because the A's organization just they don't have that type of staff at their disposal, they haven't really been able to unlock his full potential. I don't think, at least. So I think with a little bit more developing, Sears could possibly round into a reliable back end of the rotation arm who could have some more swing and miss in there. Again, like I said, if he develops his sweeper and his slider a little bit more, he's even got a changeup too, which is an okay pitch. It gets a fair amount of horizontal break and has done a decent job at generating swing and miss this season. But again, he's not really using it in two strike counts, so you don't really see the type of potential it could have. Like, he's only using it 8.3% of the time with two strikes. So, you know, if you were to get him in the hands of the Blue Jays, I think they could improve his stock a little bit more. But again, it would ultimately come down to if the A's were willing to part with him, and considering that they've only had him for less than a year now, they might not be inclined to do that. But if you could entice them without giving up all, you know, too much for him, it would make a lot of sense to the Blue Jays to stash that type of arm at AAA, continue his development there, and then see what you have next season, because you have Ryu coming off the books. And, you know, there's questions whether or not, one, Kikuchi will even be with the Blue Jays next season, and two, maybe you put him into that long man / multi-inning reliever role in the pen in 2024, and have, you know, a guy like JP Sears fill out your rotation. But if that's not feasible, you could look to a guy like Kenny Rosenberg of the Los Angeles Angels, or even Ryan Weathers of San Diego, two guys that also have minor league options left. They've been up in the major leagues a few times in their careers before, and neither has really been able to stick, but they both have intriguing stuff. Weathers in particular is a former first round pick, but he's got smacked around at the major league level, but he's done a good job at limiting hard contact, and I think possibly if he's able to control his fastball a little bit more consistently, that he could stick as a major league starter, or even give you multiple innings out of the bullpen. But either way, both guys would be nice arms to have down at the AAA level, just to give the Blue Jays a little bit more depth down there, because again, they don't have much as it stands right now. There will be more arms coming up through this system, but none that are probably going to help the team if need be in 2023. Adam Klopfenstein is somebody who is certainly deserving of a promotion to AAA, and I do think that will happen before the end of this season, but again, he's not ready to come up to the majors and have any sort of significant impact on the team. So you just like to add a little bit more protection for yourselves. That might be something they have to look into further in the offseason if they can't address it at the deadline this year, but I think they definitely need to push hard to try and fill that hole, because, you know, one, two injuries happen and you're in a spot where you have to go to some sort of alternative. And right now, it's very concerning if they had to turn to that sort of outcome. Now, moving on to the third roster need for the Blue Jays, and it's in the bullpen. And then I don't know if you could even classify this as a need per se, because the Blue Jays bullpen has been among the best in the majors this season. They lead the major leagues in strikeout to walk rate difference, which is a huge step up from where they were at this point last season. So credit to the Blue Jays front office for drastically improving that bullpen in just a year's time. But you can never have enough arms down in the pen. And that's especially true when you get to the postseason, where starters don't go deep into games. Even the really good ones, they can come out after six innings and you hand things over to the bullpen. So, yes, the Blue Jays bullpen has been sensational this season, but I think they're one arm away from being lights out. Like, even fully set come playoff time. Because right now you have Jordan Romano, Eric Swanson, Tim Mayza, Trevor Richards, Nate Pearson, Jimmy Garcia. Mitch White, we don't really have to include him because, frankly, I think his days are numbered, not only in the major leagues, but on the Blue Jays 40-man roster. It's just, it's a wasted spot at this point. And Chad Green is likely to return possibly even before August 1st, maybe a little bit after that. That's probably more realistic for him, considering that he's coming off Tommy John surgery and probably it needs at least 3, maybe 4 rehab start or rehab outings before you can think about calling him up. But it wouldn't be easy either for the Blue Jays to add another arm to the mix, especially with Ryu coming back. And that means you'd have to carry, if you go to a six-man rotation, let's say, your bullpen would get thinned to 7 relievers. Now, obviously, you could put Kikuchi in the pen as your long man and go back to 8. But as it stands right now, your 7 or even 6, let's say, would be Romano, Swanson, Mayza, Richards, Pearson, and Chad Green, eventually. So, you know, I think there will come a time where, especially when we're looking at the wild card series. Oh, I left out Jimmy Garcia too. Apologies there. But when we get to the postseason, you're not going to need all 5 starters, especially when it comes to the wild card round, right? You can only have to carry 3, maybe 4 of your starting arms and shelve 1 in the bullpen. And sure, you could add, say, a Zach Pop to the postseason roster, but are you really going to trust him in any sort of meaningful situation? Probably not. And I think it's a safe bet with whatever happens to Adam Simber. He's not on the postseason roster either. Who knows if he even returns this season because he's been transferred to the 60-day IL and he hasn't resumed throwing since and during that, suffering that shoulder impingement last month. So who knows what happens there, but we can basically write him off and say he won't be on the postseason roster. So you're in a spot where you could have 8 relievers. And to me, it would make a lot of sense to add another arm to that mix externally outside of the organization. To do that, though, you probably have to acquire an arm that can be sent to the minor leagues just so you can finagle that situation. You could also maximize Nate Pearson's minor league options and send him down back and forth. Injuries could also solve this situation before the postseason too, or even before September as well, when rosters expand. So we'll see what happens there, but I think Hunter Harvey in particular, I know a guy we've already mentioned in this episode, but he's somebody who I think would make a lot of sense from a fit perspective for the Blue Jays, especially because he does have a minor league option remaining. And he's also currently injured with a minor elbow strain. And that is a little concerning considering that he's been injured on and off throughout his career. That name may also sound familiar to diehard Blue Jays fans out there because he's a former top prospect from the Baltimore Orioles. But with him injured, maybe the price goes down a little bit, especially considering he's got two more seasons of team control after this one. And it would help you from a timeline perspective to just know that, okay, Hunter Harvey, when stretch run time comes, we can look at adding him to the roster. And then in the postseason, you could potentially have a bullpen of Jordan Romano, Eric Swanson, Tim Mesa, Jimmy Garcia, Trevor Richards, Nate Pearson, Chad Green, and Harvey. That's a pretty potent group. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Hunter Harvey, he throws the ball incredibly hard. His fastball is averaging 98.7 miles per hour this season. He's pitching to a 3.12 ERA this season with the Nationals. He's been among their primary ninth inning guys this season. He's been really effective at generating strikeouts at a 28.3% clip, a 20.8% strikeout to walk rate difference. Hitters are carrying a 192 average against him. He's also got 9 saves on this season. A little prone to hard contact and home runs, which gives you a little pause, but I do think that's part of the... He's not been in the ideal role. Like, I personally wouldn't have him in an 8th or 9th inning role on a contender. And if you look at his leverage index, the situations that he's been placed in have been the toughest of his career. And he hasn't added a ton of win probability in those spots. So to me, if you were to take his profile and put him in more medium to high leverage spots, he could possibly be far more effective, knowing he doesn't have to be the guy in the 9th inning or 8th inning when he joins a bullpen that already features Romano and Swanson and Mesa and Pearson and, you know, everyone else that you can put in high leverage situations. He can just be part of that group. I think that would take a lot off his plate and allow him to pitch a little bit more freely. So that's a guy who I think would fit really nicely on the Blue Jays roster. May cost you a little bit, but again, considering he's injured right now, could be injured through August 1st, which may benefit the Blue Jays, right? You could buy low a little on him and potentially get him at a bit of a bargain price. And again, maybe you package him with a Lane Thomas and you kill two birds with one stone and you address two needs with one trade. And that helps, you know, minimize the damage that, you know, you could have by acquiring Lane Thomas on his own. So, we'll see what happens there, but I think if the Jays are going to add a bullpen arm, it needs to be somebody who could be sent to the minor leagues just because they need the space, right? They don't have an obvious spot they could immediately slot a trade addition into from a reliever perspective. So They need a little bit more flexibility if they do end up adding a reliever. But they're in a pretty good spot as it is right now too. So if Chad Green does look anything like the guy who was lights out for the New York Yankees for so many years prior to undergoing Tommy John surgery, I mean, that's going to be a trade acquisition on its own, essentially. But if they can add another arm as well, whew, they're going to be in an even better spot come October. So it'll be exciting. I'm really intrigued to see how the Blue Jays fill in around the edges over these next 10 days, because their roster is really good. Despite the struggles they've had offensively and the underperformances they've had on that side of the ball, they're still a really talented group. And if they can add a little bit more and make them a more competitive team, they could go on a run. And, you know, the Rays have come back down to earth. The Jays aren't too far away from first place. So they could conceivably make it tight and even make a run at that first wildcard seed, whether it's Tampa or Baltimore in that spot. So regardless, they have to do a really good job at making their roster better come August 1st, and then let the chips fall where they may. So we'll see what happens. But that does it for this week's episode. I hope all of you will join me next time for another edition of Blue Jays World Update. But until that time, I'm your host, Thomas Hall, and now you're up to date. Thanks for listening.